जया यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी
जय ओ विष्णुपाद परमहंस परयोगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल लॉर्डशिप श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल लॉर्डशिप श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय जगन्नाथ भादेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 16th chapter, text 6.
राम संचोतिता पित्रा वृत्रान मात्र शगा वदेत प्रभवाज्नो मुने सम्याक समादेस्तपशाश्च शाह रामा संचोतित पित्रा भात्रन मात्रा सगावदित प्रभवाग्नो मुने सम्योक समादेस्तपाशश्च शहा रामा संचोतिता पित्रा वृत्रान मात्र शगावदित प्रभवाग्नो मुने सम्याक समादेस्तपाशश्च शः
राम लॉर्ड परशुराम संचोतितः बीइंग एनकरेज्ड टू किल हिज मदर एंड ब्रदर्स पित्रा बाय हिज फादर ब्रात्रन ऑल हिज ब्रदर्स मात्र सह विथ द मदर अवाधेत किल्ड इमीडिएटली प्रभव ज्ञान अवेयर ऑफ द प्रोविस Munihi of the great sage, Samyak, completely, Samadeha by meditation, Tabashaha by austerity, Cha also, Saha, he. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jamadagni then ordered his youngest son, Parasuram, to kill his brothers who had disobeyed this order. And his mother, who had mentally committed adultery, Lord Parashuram, knowing the power of his father, who was practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the word Prabhavajnana is significant. Parashuram knew the prowess of his father, and therefore he agreed to carry out his father's order. He thought that if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed. But if he carried it out,
his father would be pleased. And when his father was pleased, Parshuram would ask the benediction of having his mother and brothers brought back to life. Parshuram was confident in this regard, and therefore he agreed to kill his mother and brothers. Because this is a new chapter, so let's read the summary and then we also will read the translation of a couple of verses before. This chapter is entitled Lord Parshuram Destroys the World's Ruling Class. When Jamadagni was killed by the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, as described in this chapter, Parshuram rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. This chapter also describes the descendants of Vishwamitra. When Jamadagni's wife Renuka went to bring water from the Ganges and saw the king of Gandharvas enjoying the company of Apsaras, she was captivated and she slightly desired to associate with him. Because of this sinful desire, she was punished by her husband. Parshuram killed his mother and brothers, but later, by dint of the austerities of Jamadagni, they were revived. The sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, however, remembering the death of their father, wanted to take revenge against Lord Parshuram, and therefore, when Parshuram was absent from the ashrama, they killed Jamadagni, who was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Parshuram returned to the ashram and saw his father killed, he was very sorry, and after asking his brothers to take care of the dead body, he went out with determination to kill all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. Taking up his axe, he went to Magishmatipura, the capital of Kartavirya Arjuna, and killed all the Kartavirya Arjuna's sons, whose blood became a great river. Parshuram, however, was not satisfied with killing only the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Later, when the Kshatriyas became disturbing, he killed them 21 times, so that there were no Kshatriyas on the surface of the earth. Thereafter, Parshuram joined the head of his father to the dead body and performed various sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord. Thus, Jamadagni got life again in his body, and later he was promoted to the higher planetary system known as Saptarishi Mandala. Parshuram, the son of Jamadagni, still lives in Mahendra Parvata. In the next Manvantara, he will become a preacher of Vedic knowledge. In the dynasty of Gadi, the most powerful Vishwamitra took birth. By dint of his austerity and penance, he became a Brahmana. He had 101 sons who were celebrated as the Madhuchandas. In the sacrificial arena of Harishchandra, the son of Ajigartha, named Sunashepa, was meant to be sacrificed, but by the mercy of the Prajapatis, he was released. Thereafter, he became Devaratha in the dynasty of Gadi. The 50 elder sons of Vishwamitra, however, did not accept Sunashepa as their elder brother, and therefore Vishwamitra cursed them to become Malachas, unfaithful to the Vedic civilization. Vishwamitra's 51st son, along with his younger brothers, then accepted Sunashepa as their eldest brother, and their father Vishwamitra, being satisfied, blessed them. Thus, Devaratha was accepted in the dynasty of Kaushika, and consequently, there are different divisions of that dynasty. So that ends the summary of this particular chapter. So let's read the translation for verses 1 through 6. Then we will continue the class. Text 1, translation. Sugadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Parikshit, son of the Kuru dynasty, when Lord Parshuram was given this order by his father, he immediately agreed, saying, 'Let it be so.' For one complete year, he traveled to the holy places. Then he returned to his father's residence. Once, when Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, went to the bank of Ganges to get water, she saw the king of Gandharvas decorated with a garland of lotuses and sporting in Ganges with celestial women, Apsaras. She had gone to bring water from the Ganges, but when she saw Chitrarata, the king of the Gandharvas, sporting with the celestial girls, she was somewhat inclined toward him and failed to remember that the time for the fire sacrifice was passing. Later, understanding that the time for offering sacrifice had passed, Renuka feared a curse from her husband. Therefore, when she returned, she simply put the water pot before him and stood there with folded hands. The great sage Jamadagni understood the adultery in the mind of his wife. Therefore, he was very angry and told his sons, "My dear sons, kill this sinful woman." But the sons did not carry out his order. Jamadagni then ordered his youngest son, Parashuram, to kill his brothers who had disobeyed this order and his mother who had mentally committed adultery. Lord Parashuram, knowing the power of his father who was practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tatati Swapatantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushrute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupashya Krupa Shindupyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinataranam. So, wonderful set of verses with so many different instructions which we can learn from. We will briefly touch upon different aspects which we can learn from these verses. Only I want to talk about five different aspects, because these verses are loaded with lot of information which we can learn. Though from outside it might look like, what is this? Lord Parashuram is killing the mother, killing his brothers and all those. What can we learn? Actually, there are lot of things which we can learn from these verses. So first let me briefly address those, then we can take a look at at least one or two of them. The first one is in the translation of text 1, Srila Prabhupada writes what Parshuram did. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Parikshit, son of the Kuru dynasty, when Lord Parshuram was given the order by his father, he immediately agreed, saying, 'Let it be so. For one complete year, he traveled to holy places. Then he returned to his father's residence. So as soon as he received instruction from his father, father is like one of the spiritual masters. So when we hear instructions from the spiritual master, we don't stop the spiritual master and ask, hey, should I actually do this? Do you know what kind of instructions you are giving? He did not ask anything like that. Remember, Lord Parshuram is not an ordinary person. He is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For Lord Krishna, he doesn't need any austerities, right? He cannot commit any sins. Because what is dharma? Whatever he says is dharma. So if he says I want to kill, that is dharma. So he doesn't incur any sin. So he did not commit any sins because he is the supreme incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because his father, who is one of the spiritual masters, because he asked him to repent for his sins by going to different holy places, he did not argue. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should I do that? He did not say any of those. He said, okay, let be it. He did not say anything. He said, yes, I will do it. And immediately he left. And he went to different holy places for 1 year. He immediately fulfilled the instructions of the spiritual master. That should be the mood of a bona fide disciple. So when a disciple receives the instructions from the spiritual master, one should immediately follow those instructions. Doesn't mean that one has to blindly follow. As needed, one has to ask for clarification so that the instruction can be followed properly. So seeking clarification is okay, but not challenging the instructions of the spiritual master. We can see from Lord Parshuram's behavior, even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he obeyed the instructions of the spiritual master and he carried out those instructions. And second point here, it says for one complete year, he traveled to holy places. Typically, we visit holy places to become purified of various sinful, we might have committed different sinful actions. For that, we suffer some reactions. So often people go to the holy places with the aim of getting rid of these reactions. But now we can see that Lord Parshuram, he also visited the holy places. But his visiting holy places is very different from someone who is conditioned, who is going to visit those holy places. Whenever the Lord or the pure devotees of the Lord, when they visit the holy places, the reason why they visit those holy places is to purify the holy places. It is not that Lord Parshuram, by visiting the holy places, he become purified. He is supremely pure. He doesn't need any further purification. He is supremely pure. But he goes there to purify the holy places. I don't know whether I remember the verse. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular verse is there, how the pure devotees, they are actually holy places personified. By them going to the holy places, they purify the holy places. They purify the holy places. Actually, there is one, at the beginning of, or right before the beginning of Kali Yuga, all the holy rivers headed by Ganges and Yamuna, they they were appealing to the Lord. Kali Yuga is coming. What can we do? Because in Kali Yuga, people are going to be very, very sinful. And all these people, sinful people, are going to be coming and taking bath in our, like holy water. Then we will become contaminated. We have some power. We can tolerate some level of sinful reaction. But because in Kali Yuga, the amount of sins one commits is so great, so it is going to be not possible for us to tolerate all this. What can we do? Please advise us. They are reaching out to the Lord. And the Lord said, you don't need to worry. In Kali Yuga, all my pure devotees, they will come and take bath in your holy water. So by that, you will be immediately purified. So that is another point. So that's why pure devotees, in different sampradayas, they are called as tirthas. Tirtha meaning they are holy place. Holy places are purifying. Similarly, the pure devotees, just by their association, they purify us. So it is as good as, or even much better than taking bath in river Ganges or things like that, because they are holy places personified themselves. So that is the second point. And third point is, here we can see Jamadagni is not an ordinary personality. To have Lord Parshuram, who is the incarnation of the Lord, as his son, he needs to be qualified, right? Lord is not going to become son of someone who is unqualified. So he is a very, very powerful personality. He is a very powerful personality. But even this powerful personality, same thing with Mother Renuka. To have the Lord as our son, she has to be very, very powerful. So here we can say that, see that even powerful personalities, they fall under illusion. Then what to speak of us? Though Mother Renuka did not commit any, she only committed adultery in mind. She did not participate in any activities. But still, though she was so elevated, by looking at the king of the Gandharvas enjoying with the celestial woman, she got agitated. By observing this, she got agitated. And then because of that agitation, because of the contemplation, she got some attachment. It might be nice if I was there, or I don't know what exactly was the thought. Here it says, it did not elaborate what was exactly her thought process was, but she was inclined. She was a little bit favorable. She did not plan and that and this and all those. Slightly favorable. So from one perspective, it is not a great sin. But at the same time, we can see even the greatest of the personalities who are so powerful, they come under the spell of Maya. Then what to speak of tiny living entities like us? We are not at all powerful. We are so powerless. And often, we try to fight with Maya Devi, unnecessarily. Actually, that reminds me, once I was with my teacher. It was very cold, he was the temple president here at the time. So it was very cold outside, and he came to visit us, and I was just coming back with him to drop him at the temple, because he parked his car at the temple. So it was so cold outside, and I did not put my jacket, I did not wear shoes, I did not do anything, I just ran and I was like, you know, like accompanying him. And then he saw me coming like this, then he immediately stopped me. He said, like, Namaruchi, Maya Devi is much more powerful than you. You don't need to, there is no point in telling her that you are stronger than her. She is much more powerful than you. Go back and put your, like, you know, proper clothing so that you will not get cold. Because we need to maintain our health to serve the Lord properly. So there is no point in going and fighting with Maya Devi. Like, often that is our, like, you know, like tendency. So here we see that even greatest of personalities, they fall under the spell of Maya Devi. So we need to be very, very careful. We need to be so careful. So that is the third instruction we can learn from here. And the fourth instruction is how, like, Mother Renuka was, like she was looking at the act, then she was contemplating. And that contemplation resulted in some level of attachment. Some level of attachment. So whenever we contemplate on the material, like sense objects, we develop attachment. What is the result of having material attachments? When that material attachment is fulfilled, then we are going to be, the nature of the material things is that we will never get satisfaction. So if, let's say, like, you know, like, I don't have any money, I will, like, you know, say, like, oh, like, I want $100. And when I get $100, I'll think, oh, it would be nice if I get $10,000. If I get $10,000, I'll think, oh, it would be nice if I get 1 million. If I get 1 million, I want like 1 billion. If I have 1 billion, the next thing I want to be is the wealthiest person in the world. Like that, you know, there is a end for someone's need, but there is no end for one's greed. So whenever we have material attachment, when the material attachment is fulfilled, then that is going to result in greed. Then we want more and more and more of the same thing. So greed by nature is not going to be satisfied. It is like, you know, when we have fire, instead of putting like water or throwing sand at the fire to destroy the fire, so it is like adding ghee to the fire. If we add ghee to the fire, we are not going to be putting off the fire. The fire is going to become like stronger and stronger and stronger. It is going to become more and more powerful. So it is like that, like adding ghee to it. So greed by nature, like when we add little bit, or when we have little bit of greed, that is going to become bigger greed. That is going to become bigger and bigger and bigger. So it cannot go down. So whenever the desires, that greed is not satisfied, then what is going to be the result? Anger. So when we get something which is not satisfied, if the world is not going according to our plan, we get frustrated and we get angry. We can see in children, if they want something, they want it. If they don't get that, they throw like all the tantrum, like, you know, like crying and, like, you know, moving their hands and legs and lying on the floor and doing all kinds of things, because they express their anger, because their whatever desire they had is not fulfilled. So that is the nature of the attachment. Even when the material attachments are fulfilled, still because of the greed, we will get angry, because greed by nature cannot be satisfied. And let's look at the other perspective. Even when the material attachment is, like, when the material attachment is not at all satisfied, or, like, you know, the material desires we have is not satisfied, then we get the frustration. because of that frustration we get angry. So the main point I'm making is that irrespective of whether the material desires are fulfilled or not fulfilled, the end result is anger and so many like other things which comes along with that. So that is the nature. So it is not going to result in anything superior, irrespective of whether it is fulfilled or not fulfilled. And another thing which like we can learn, the fourth point I want to make is, I don't know whether it is fourth or fifth, now I'm losing the count. So whichever point it is, the point is, like in a Jamadagni, though he is so powerful, because he got so angry. If you look at Mother Renuka's offense, it is not so severe. But still, he got so mad. And when someone is in anger, they lose the power of discrimination. So here you can see, like, you know, he is a great personality, and because of anger, he loses everything. He loses his control. He doesn't know what he is doing. He just says, "My dear sons, go and kill your mother." And that is, like, for a son to kill his mother is greatest sin. And he is asking his son to commit a much greater sin than whatever his wife committed. So that is the nature of anger. Like, you know, one loses the power of discrimination. So by losing the discrimination, he says, like, you know, go on, kill your mother. And when the sons, they refuse to kill their mother, then he gets angry at them. So that is the, like, you know, power of anger. So when, like, initially, like, we might be a little angry, and that anger is going to become, like, you know, larger and larger. It's similar to the greed which you are talking about. Then he gets angry at all his sons. Then he is telling Lord Parshuram, now kill all the sons and your mother. So that is, like, you know, I think the fifth point I wanted to make. Let me make, like, one more point. There are actually, again, like, more points which we can discuss, but let's go with, like, one more and stop. Here, Lord Parshuram, there it says, so Srila Prabhupada is writing in his purport. Oh, I'm looking at a different purport. So let me read the purport. He thought, like, you know, Lord Parshuram thought, if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed. But if he carried it out, his father would be pleased. And when his father was pleased, Parshuram would ask the benediction of having his mother and brothers brought back to life. Parshuram was confident in this regard, and therefore he agreed to kill his mother and brothers. So he was, like, independently thoughtful. Though he is following the instructions of the father, immediately, like, he did it. He did not, like, you know, like, without contemplation, like, went and, like, you know, chopped off the head of his mother and, like, you know, the brothers. He thought, what is going to be the consequence of my action? If I am going to refuse the order of my father, he is so powerful, he is going to curse me along with my mother and brothers. No one is going to win. But if I am going to follow the instructions of my father, and if I am going to kill my mother and brothers, he is going to be pleased. When he is pleased, he will ask me, I am very much pleased with you. What benediction would you like? Then I can immediately ask. I want my mother and brothers to come back to life. I don't want them to remember whatever happened. So he was, like, you know, very smart. He was contemplating. about, like he was very thoughtful. He was like very thoughtful. Of course, he is the Lord himself. So, like, you know, he was looking at the consequence of his actions and selected something which is going to be benefiting everyone. As practicing devotees, that should be like our mood. Instead of just doing something whimsically, we need to be thoughtful. We need to weigh what kind of consequences my action is going to make. So without that, whatever action we are going to be making, though externally it might look like the action is really good action, but it is going to be detrimental to our own devotion and for like others, like, you know, in their path of their own, like, you know, devotional service. So we need to be very, very thoughtful. So there are like more things, like, which can be said about, like, these like verses, because, like, you know, like each and every verse is filled with so many instructions. Like, I'm just highlighting six of the like things which like immediately like I felt which we can learn from this set of verses. But when we go, like, you know, look deeply, we can find, like, you know, like many more like instructions. And like Lord Parshuram, he has some like from the childhood I've been listening about the glories of Lord Parshuram, because the place where I am from, like, you know, where I was born, this place is about like 15 or 20 miles from the place where Lord Parshuram did this pastime of chopping off the head of his mother and brothers. Like, you know, it is like very close to like wherever I was born. So typically, like, you know, every time the grandparents will be reciting so many different pastimes of like Lord Parshuram. So Lord Parshuram is like very like special in that regard. So there are, like, you know, the main point I want to make is that there are lot of instructions which we can learn from this set of verses. So just to just for like our understanding, let me just go through each one of them, like, again, just the list. First one is how Lord Parshuram, without like asking any questions, though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't need any purification. He obeyed the orders of his father, who is a spiritual master. So as practicing devotees, we also need to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And then second point we looked at was how, though Lord Parshuram is the incarnation of the Lord himself, he doesn't need to go to different holy places, but he did go to various holy places for 1 year. The reason is not because he needs purification himself, because he is the supremely pure. He doesn't need any purification, but he went to these holy places so that he can purify these holy places. That's why we saw that, like, you know, earlier we discussed that the pure devotees, they are called as Tirthas, because they are personification of holy places. Just by getting their association, we get the benefit of visiting all the holy places at once. So that's why all these scriptures, they keep on emphasizing on the importance and power of associating with different pure devotees. So that is the second instruction we can learn, like, you know, about the importance of pure devotees. And third lesson is that even a great personality can, like fall under the clutches of Mayadevi, fall under the influence of Mayadevi. Here we can see even the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be like agitated. Then what to speak of, like, you know, like tiny living entities like us. So we need to be very, very careful. Even great personalities can fall under the clutches of Mayadevi. So we need to be very vigilant. when we are practicing our own devotional service. And the fourth point which we discussed was the power of material contemplation. When we contemplate on material objects, we get attached to those objects. When we get attached to those objects, then our desires to enjoy those objects is going to be increasing. And when those desires are fulfilled, then that is going to lead to greed. Greed by nature has no end. So greed by nature cannot be satisfied. So when our greed is not satisfied, we are going to become angry. And when our material desires are not satisfied, then also we are going to get angry. So in essence, the material contemplation or material desires are going to be only bringing detrimental effect to us. So as practicing devotees, we need to be very careful about that. So there is nothing good which can come out by contemplating on material sense objects, because eventually it is going to lead to anger. Then the fifth point we saw is the effect of anger. Whenever someone is angry, they lose the power of discrimination. Though Mother Renuka, she made a very small offense, that is even like mental offense, she did not do anything physically, a small mental offense, Jamadagni was so angry, he wanted his sons to commit a much more sinful act of killing their own mother. So that is the nature of anger. One loses like all their like senses, the sense of discrimination. So that is very, very dangerous. So as practicing devotees, when we are like angry, we need to know like what is the nature of this anger. We should not act when we are angry. If someone is making us angry, then let's take some take some time out. Like, you know, that's what typically like parents they do, right? When the children are like angry or they throw tantrum, they say, okay, time out. Go to your room and sit for half an hour or 1 hour or whatever it is. Because when someone is in anger, they don't know what they are doing. So as practicing devotees, we need to understand that and take a break and think about what is going to be the consequence of my anger. Is anything good going to come? The answer for this question almost always is going to be no. Nothing good can come out of anger. Like I'm talking about material anger. We do know that spiritual anger of like Lord Hanuman and like Arjuna, when it is used in the service of the Lord, like, you know, everything can be like purified and everything is going to be good. But I'm talking about the material anger. Nothing good can come out of the material anger. So that is the fifth point. And the sixth point is how Lord Parshuram, he was independently thoughtful. He was very thoughtful. Though he immediately killed his mother and brothers, but before he did that, he was thinking, what will happen? What is the consequences of my acting and not acting? So based on his analysis, he understood that he has to kill his mother and brothers, because that is for the ultimate benefit of his mother and the brothers. So externally, some things might look not that good. Obviously, if someone is going to say, Lord Parshuram chopped off the head of his mother and brothers, people will be like furious to learn that. But why he did that? He did that so that, later on we will see, one of the thing benediction Lord Parshuram asked from Jamadagni is that he doesn't want them to remember anything. So even those mental offenses which is committed by Mother Renuka, he wants her to forget everything, him killing them and also the mental offenses and all those things, he wants them to forget. And to pacify is like father. Otherwise, he is going to curse all of them. He is going to be cursing all of them. Nothing good is going to come. But by him killing them, actually like all good is going to come. Because his father is going to be forgiving them and they are going to come back to life and they remember like all the things which happened. So everything is back to normal. So this is the spiritual intelligence. When we are very thoughtful, we become very intelligent. So as practicing devotees, without jumping into some activity or other, we need to be very thoughtful to see what is going to be the consequence of my action for my own self and for others. So these are the 6 points I wanted to emphasize from these purports. As I discussed earlier, there are more points which are there, but in the interest of time, we are not going to be looking at this. So let's see whether there are any questions or comments or corrections. Oh, I forgot.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were speaking about fault finding yesterday, and I want to relate it to this class today. One of my favorite examples, please forgive me for this example, but it's one of my favorite examples about fault finding. Everyone's probably experienced this when you go to the bathroom and somebody's been there before you, you can't tolerate the smell. But when we go to the bathroom, somehow or other, we could tolerate it. So the lesson I learned from that is that we could tolerate the crap or faults that come out of us, but we can't tolerate the crap that comes out of someone else. So in his pastime, we see that Jamuna Agni, it seems like a double standard. He was able to tolerate, he chastised Parashuram for killing the emperor. And he said, you must forgive. Then go to his wife. I don't forgive my wife. I'm going to kill her. So it appears that sometimes we're able to tolerate our own faults or crap, but we can't, or sometimes we could tolerate other people's faults. So what are some steps we could do to tolerate everyone's crap, no matter how bad it smells? Forgive me, Hare Krishna. More incense, probably.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, scriptures teaches us that why we fall down from the spiritual world. So originally, all of us were in the spiritual world. But why did we fall down? Because of the false ego. Because we see everyone is worshipping Krishna. Then one fine day, we are thinking, why everyone is worshipping Krishna? Why not me? So we think that as soon as we think we are equal to Krishna or better than Krishna, we fall down. So that is the reason why we are in this material world. So this is one of the things which is going to when we get rid of all the anarthas, this is going to be one of those anarthas which is going to be little bit more difficult to get rid of, because this is the main reason why we are in this material world. So once we get rid of this, we are going back to Godhead. So that's why we see even great personalities, they have that particular mentality. So how we can practically look at this? So that we need to follow the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whenever we are going to be seeing faults in others, or something is not going, that devotee is not while chanting, he or she is not sitting straight, I'm sitting straight, and other person is going like this, and then going like this, and after 5 minutes they are paying full dandavat and sleeping on the floor and chanting, it is more like chanting of Lord Mahavishnu. So we just lie down and chant. We can look at everybody, and then for each and everything, we can criticize. But Whenever we have those kind of tendencies, the fault is within us. Do we have any control over what others are doing? We have no control over. Only thing which we have control over is us. Because I am affected by whatever someone else is doing means that the fault is within me. So I need to look within my heart to see like what I can do to rectify those so that I am not going to be agitated. So that is like one point. And second point is when we understand how everyone will be committing mistakes. We don't even need to look at the scriptures. Even regular saying, it says to err is human. So people are expected to commit mistakes because we have imperfect senses and that and this and whatnot. We read from scriptures. We have so many different defects. So we are naturally, I don't want to say expected, but we will commit some mistake or other. So it is just matter of time. If one is very strong, they might not be committing mistake for a long time. For others, they might be committing mistakes each and every moment of their life. So everyone is going to commit mistake. So when we understand that, so how the living entities are under illusion, and they have the natural, the four defects of the living entities, so everyone is going to commit mistakes, then we will not be agitated. We will not be agitated by that. So often we forget that. We often forget that. That's why we get agitated when someone is doing something wrong. We are why this person did not do it properly, as if we are doing it properly. If you look at it, we will be doing even much worse than whoever we are criticizing. But the tendency is that typically our standard for others is much, much greater than the standard we set for ourselves. It is supposed to be the other way around. But we don't do that. So we need to rectify that. How we can rectify? First of all, getting the proper knowledge. And then we need to practice by looking at all these pastimes. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam classes and all those are very important, because we can study from the scriptures about even how great personalities, they can fall under this particular tendency. Then what is the result of Jamadagni's getting agitated, getting angry and all those? So eventually he was also killed. Later we will see. He was also killed. So we can be any kind of great personality. We are to suffer the reaction of our action. No one is above the laws of karma. But when we surrender to Krishna, obviously most of the karmic reactions are taken away. But still, for our own benefit, the Lord is going to give us the token reaction so that we are not going to become puffed up and that and this and whatnot. So still we get reaction. But whatever we get is not because of our karma. It is Krishna karma. Krishna is giving us that difficulty so that we can take shelter of the Lord, so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. So hope that answers your question, Prabhu. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thank you so much for tolerating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Already, I think I'm fired. My sister is saying you are fired.